The following production of the Banged Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
2015, Godsmack plays live in Seattle, Washington.
What? Did you say fuck the Pats? Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Let's just say fuck the Pats for a second. What's your football team? The Seattle fucking Seahawks. Is that your team? Yeah, well, let me tell you something about those flukes. They have sucked big fucking dick this year. Yeah, they have. Who's fucking undefeated right now? New England Patriots are. That's right. So suck it. You started it. We're going to go undefeated this year, and you guys are not, because you can't, because you already lost a bunch of games. And you lost a bunch of games. Seattle Seahawks. And they suck big fucking dick into our egg. They suck big dick in 2015, yeah. The Seattle Seahawks. What did you say? Big cocks? I don't think so. Maybe little cocks. Seattle Seahawks suck. Yeah! I like that song. I think I'm going to record that as soon as I get fucking home tonight. Oh, you guys are fun. Okay, listen, let's get serious for a second here. Dude, why are you flipping me off? It's not my fault your team has lost a bunch of games. I know, they're so good. I gotta keep supporting them. I promise you they're not even gonna make the fucking playoffs. They're not even gonna make the playoffs! No fucking way! They're a big fluke and they're going away today. The Seattle Seahawks suck your fucking... No, okay, I'm kidding. I was just getting into singing. I was trying to figure out some melodies. I need to change the chords, though. That's what the problem is. I don't think the problem is with the lyrics, Tony. It's with the chord progression. It's limiting me to what I can sing as a melody. All right, settle down, you freaks. I'm just kidding. Let's get back to reality here. This isn't a football game.
Hum hum.
But stop it!
You like that?
Once you go deck, you don't go back.
Deck.
He's Jesus, bro! Bang.
You know, we know what we're capable of. You know, have we shown it to the world yet? I don't think we have.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hold on. With Swumble?
This is football!
Maybe there's a chance.
And now, here's John and Tom.
He's always played with a chip on his shoulder, and so we're just really excited to have him. He's going to be a great, great part of our offense, a great part of our football team. So, Kirk Cousins.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Cousins, a Minnesota Viking. Congratulations, Kirk.
Stinks.
You've got the most guaranteed money in history.
He stinks. I don't know why anybody'd pay that guy even a penny. $84 million, all guaranteed for 3 years. Only 3 years.
I know.
That's crazy. I mean, you know, all guaranteed. That throws contracts into the future all up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
All up in the air. Yep. You know? And if the Vikings, hey, Vikings fans out there. Daniel Al-Majid, I know, I see you. You're a Vikings fan. You're all excited. $84 million guaranteed means Super Bowl or it's an abject complete failure.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Come on.
No,
$84 million bucks after going to the NFC Championship, throwing out the quarterback, all three quarterbacks, and saying, you're our guy, that's Super Bowl or bust.
Well, I mean, I'm sure their intent is to win a Super Bowl. They got that far last year, and they upgraded their quarterback, and I'm sure they expect to contend for it. But things happen over the course of the season. You never know. I mean, you can't say you know, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks getting paid a lot of money. There's a lot of players getting paid a lot of money that never live up to it. So
all guaranteed, though. And hang on, let me put this down in the big
but
book of football knowledge that
it's only a 3-year deal. It's only a 3-year deal.
How did you say that? I got to write an entry into the big book of football knowledge. Teams,
stop.
Their goal is to go to the Super Bowl. Is that how you put it? Seriously, though, 84, if it was like $100 million with 84 guaranteed, you at least have some wiggle room there. But if you're guaranteeing the whole contract there, Super Bowl or bust.
You start off, and your goal is to win the Super Bowl. And then what you want to do, first of all, you win your division, and then you get a bye the first week of the playoffs, then you get home field throughout the playoffs, then you get to the Super Bowl and win it.
There you go. See? Yeah.
Oh. Well, as everybody out there should know, I've been doing these little 20-minute best-of episodes in between our monthly here, and I've been collecting our John Maddens from the past. A lot of you guys weren't even born the last time he did a football game, but holy shit, some of it's funny.
Oh, my God, it is, isn't it?
It's classic.
Yep.
Hey, you know, Tom, those first downs on third down are what helps you prolong a drive.
That one's real, folks, and you'll hear it coming up this summer.
He can use his hands and feet at the same time.
Uh-huh. Oh, those are just some of the best ever.
Well, it sounds to me like your usual combine coverage. Right, there's Mike Mayock at the combine. Hey, that guy can use his hands and feet at the same time. Next on NFL Network, hand and feet drills here on the combine coverage. You know, now they're doing pro day coverages. Holy right. shit.
Well,
I love football, but holy crap.
What else would you put on NFL Network? That makes sense to me. I mean, I don't necessarily want to see it, but you might as well put something on there. I mean, what are we going to listen to? Rich Eisen just talk about football every day?
I am flat out on the radio. He has a pretty good daily show. But yeah, you know, I agree. It's a good thing to put on NFL Network, but holy shit, if you're sitting at home watching this, if you're not a scout, dude.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I know. All right, I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 325. Coming up, the new catch rule.
Oh, brother.
That stupid vest coat thing.
Has that got anything to do with the catch? Oh, you can't, like, put it in your vest pocket and say, I caught it?
Believe Land has arrived, John.
Oh, I can't wait, frankly. I can't wait. That parade got me all psyched up back in January.
The white guy is going to beat you.
That's what I've heard. He is entitled to everything.
And, John, the NFL wants to know if you find your mother attractive.
Well, occasionally, after I've had a few drinks.
Oh, my God.
Hot dang right. That was a goddamn question for Skeeter Millett.
Cousins, like you said, he got the $84 million guaranteed 3 years. And, you know, people wonder, like you. Well, I guess not now that you think he sucks, but other people wonder why the Redskins didn't just do that, you know.
If you look at the Redskins free agency so far, they're all about saving the money. They are nothing but frugal anymore. It's like a complete 180 from the old days.
Yeah, Dallas is that way too.
Yeah, they signed Allen Hurns today.
I'll take that for a number three receiver.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal. Well, actually, I'd take him over Newman. I bet he knows what the sideline
is. I don't know, man. Newman has, in the past couple years, Newman has really come into his own.
All right. Well, you got Beasley, you got Newman, you got Hurns, and you got Bryant.
Oh, God. I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And why Butler. Not? That's a pretty good core. I'll take it. Hey, man, you never know when somebody's going to get hurt. So.
Oh, you know. Definitely. I understand that completely. And you can't have too many good wide receivers as far as I'm concerned. The league is a passing league.
You never know when Allen Hurns is going to get hurt, as a matter of fact.
Tell you what. Kirk Cousins is going to fucking roll with Adam Thielen.
Well, so why did the Redskins let him go? Joe Theismann was on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, and he's going to explain it.
You know, Kirk's deal is what it is. I mean, it played out the way he wanted it to. He's had a football team that wanted him. It's not the Redskins didn't want him, but I think it would have been a big nut to swallow.
Oh.
Oh, well. Let me tell you, Tom, it's been my experience that when you're getting a blowjob, it's not the best time to try to offer negotiations.
I think it would have been a big nut to swallow.
Tippy, 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 too. Yeah, Kirk said, I want $84 million, and Bruce Allen said,
It's huge when it comes to learning a new guy's rear end.
Well, that's what Kirk's going to have to do, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's gonna have to learn that huge new rear end.
He's going to stick his knuckle in your asshole.
Oh!
What's up with Joe Theismann and all of these strange analogies? He seems to have some kind of a thing on his mind there.
Tippy, 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 too.
Joe.
So, I'm going to have to make the Vikings a Super Bowl pick. Maybe. But I don't know. The Eagles still look pretty damn good. They got better, I think. Although, did you see the news about Michael Bennett today?
What happened?
He's got a warrant out for his arrest.
Oh, no.
For, get this, a felony injuring the elderly. Apparently, there's video, I think. There should be. He's at the Super Bowl trying to get on the field. I don't know if it was this year. I didn't read totally, but I can't remember if this year's Super Bowl or last year's Super Bowl. But he's trying to get on the field, and the security people won't let him, so he's trying to shove past, and he shoved this 66-year-old woman to the ground, and apparently she got hurt. So it was in Texas. So when did they have the Super Bowl at the Cowboys Stadium? That was when it was.
Oh, that's been a while back, man.
Yeah, so I don't know what the hell took so long for them to come up with this, but the Texas authorities are who are after him. But
you know he's not gonna go like be on the run if he knows he's gonna say, hey, wait, what's going on? Here I am. What do we need to do here? You know, and it's gonna and then somebody's gonna get a check and then everything's gonna be fine.
Right. And besides, you know, the fact of the matter is he gave the old lady a swim move and she just couldn't recover. She had bad footwork and down she went. So jeez. Isn't that what he's supposed to do?
Well, we're gonna talk about the Seahawks, by the way. But first, I wanted to play this clip. Troy Vincent, okay. You know, I brought up Rich Eisen, and you talked about him having a good show. He had Troy Vincent on, you know, and Troy's part of the Players Union. And I mentioned, you know, we've got this, we're going to have a new catch rule now. And from the way it sounds, I like it. I will say, you know.
Let's see what happens when the referees have to make the call.
Well, all right. Well, let me play what Troy Vincent said about it on Rich Eisen's show.
When someone says today, define what is the criteria of a catch? And as you've referenced, Rich, control, 2 feet, and the ability to perform a football act, which could be an elbow, and the Calvin Johnson, where he had control, 2 feet, and he actually hit the ground where he was turning. But he was turning under his own ability. That's a football act. The Dez Bryant catches.
Yes.
Has control 2 feet, actually 3 feet. He extends, which is a football act.
Yes.
So that motion of a football act, which actually mirrors what the college rule says, we felt like when we asked the question, should that be a catch? Do you want that to be a catch? When we asked the fan, the player, the coach, the Jesse James. Do you want that to be a catch?
For sure.
The Dez Bryant. Do you want that to be a catch? And then we just began mapping the language that would constitute, what does that mean? Control in each one of those situations, 2 feet down, and then the ability to perform a football act is how Coach Payton and Coach Tomlin continue to express the ability to perform a football act. Hey, the fan... we all want to say in the stadium, that is a catch.
Right. Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, Tom. What we've done here is we've taken a relatively simple game that 11-year-olds can referee amongst themselves while they play in the street and made it so goddamn convoluted and complicated that we don't know what catch means.
Now, John, it's amazing to me when I play this next clip, I feel like there's a show that I could go back, one of our shows that I could go back to and find you saying these exact same words. This is Richard Sherman. And I said the Seahawks, he's not a Seahawk anymore. Now he's a 49er. How about that? Richard Sherman goes to enemy.
No shit.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Yeah. Now they got Garoppolo. Man, this is going to be great. But that's another, that's a discussion.
I'll tell you what, in that vein, based on the last show, I said 3 teams might come out of the West. I don't know about Seattle anymore.
Right, but that's a discussion for later in the year. But I want to play what Richard Sherman said about the NFL rulebook.
They need to take the gray area out of a lot more rules because the rulebook is getting too crazy. It's getting too extensive.
Oh.
You know, every game, the refs are getting scrutinized left and right. So I think anytime they can simplify the rule book and simplify the ref's understanding and the public's understanding, it's better for the game.
I thought, did he take that as a direct quote? Has he been listening to our show and took that as a direct quote from you?
Hello, Richard Sherman. Speaking as a representative of the Bang Radio Hour, we would just like to say that of all the Chunky Soup advertising NFL players, we like you the best. All right?
Yep.
That's yeah. That's what we've been saying since, shit, since I met you.
I know.
Right, since before this podcast, that this rule book is crazy. The third cartoon I ever made was Paul Tagliabue as Dr. Frankenstein building the rule book.
Yep.
It was crazy. It's crazy.
It is.
The rule book, this is a simple game. And like I said, 11-year-olds can call it on the street, you know, for themselves and just fine. Sometimes I think that what we do when we go up to the booth is we should just ask an 11-year-old, is that a catch? And they should say yes or no. They'll get it right. You know, and that Dez Bryant thing, no way. That's not a fucking football move. I've seen shortstops do that a million times in baseball. It's always a great play. It ends up on SportsCenter.
Not against you're talking about the Packers playoff game?
Yeah.
No.
Layout with one hand?
I don't
want to
hear it. All right. I'm not even going to get into this discussion.
Tell me how that's not a baseball move. I've seen shortstops and second basemen do that my whole life.
Okay. So like I said, Richard Sherman is a 49er, and he's no longer a Seahawk because he says the Seahawks lost their way, John.
It's just unfortunate. At the end of the day, it just seems like, I don't know how to say it, they've kind of lost their way a little bit in terms of, you know, how they see players and how they evaluate players. It just became an issue of devaluing core players, you know, players that are playing at a high level and really being curious about younger players and, you know, curious about the unknown.
Well, God, it sounds like they're
curious.
They're thinking about having gay sex. I don't.
I have a rookie fetish.
I don't know. He must not be talking about himself because he wasn't even on the field there the last few games, right?
Dude's had two Achilles injuries.
Yeah.
You know, that might have a little bit more to do with why they lost their way towards your locker. I still think he's a great player, but two Achilles injuries.
Well, if he comes back.
To be paying to see what would happen.
If he comes back at 100%, then great move for the 49ers. You know, I mean,
sure.
He's an upgrade over what they have.
Anything is, really. Yeah, he's one of the best in the league, but still, two Achilles injuries. I mean, the Redskins, Junior Gallette walked out the door today, I think. He got a contract offer from somebody else. Or no, the Redskins pulled their offer off the table, and people around here are going nuts. Oh, boo-hoo, Junior Gallette. Like, what are you crying for? This dude ruptured two Achilles.
Right.
You know, okay. I've watched him almost get to the quarterback a lot last year, but that's it. But yeah, the Seahawks, money, right? It's money. It's cap, isn't it?
We all do it. We remember players in their prime. Right. And we go, wow, oh, yeah. And no, it's not the same.
Yeah, he should be able to do that all the time. And no, injuries matter. They matter a lot.
So regarding the actual Seahawks team, this woman in Renard, Washington, followed a couple Seattle Seahawks players to their practice area. I mean, I think this would be stalking. Yeah. I mean, this is almost stalking. Yeah. She follows them in, and she pulls up next to them and rolls her window down. And she goes on this rant, and she remains very calm, but she's cussing. She's cussing up a storm.
She's got to remain calm, Tom. Those are black guys, and you don't know what they're going to do.
Well, she starts yelling at them. Well, I see, again, I said yelling. She's not yelling. She's talking.
You can't spook them.
It's what she's saying, and it's about the national anthem protest, okay?
She's loaded as shit.
Now, they were both, they were cornerbacks. Mike Tyson, that's funny, his name's Mike Tyson, but it's, you know.
Shut up, bitch!
And Nico Thorpe is the other one. And the video starts with one of the players asking her, you started your morning off like that? Like, this is how your day began? You gonna follow us and yell at us? And this is what, listen to her.
Shitty, that you can't
you started your morning
up and be a man.
You started your morning off like that?
On your little fucking knees. And not represent
the fact that
made you
put
the car.
What's your name?
I'm not telling you my fucking name. What's your name?
Okay, wait. I think he's hitting on her.
Yeah, why not? You start your morning off like this? Somebody got to make you happy, bitch.
She's like, I can't believe you can't get off your fucking knees and respect the country that made you what you are. Hey, what's your name?
Yeah, really. This is a woman. You know, the funny thing is that he asks her, you start your day off like this? And yes, I guarantee you, without a good cup of anger in the morning, this woman wouldn't know what to do with herself.
Okay, so I'm gonna continue this. Wait till you hear this.
What's your name?
I'm not telling you my fucking name. What's your name?
Who are you, big man?
I'm not telling you my fucking name. What's your name?
Yeah.
It's Big Mike.
What's your name?
His name Big Mike, he said. So that must be Mike Tyson. So here we go.
What's your name?
Who are you, Big Mike?
Big Mike. I'm Big Mike.
I don't care what you are.
You just...
All I care about is the fact that my tax dollars pay for you to play and go fucking play.
Seriously.
And get off your fucking knees.
You done yet?
You done yet? She said, yeah. My tax dollars pay for you to play, so go fucking play. Get off your knees and fucking... Your tax dollars do not pay him to play the fucking game. What are you talking about?
I don't get this. I mean, unless there's a stadium thing in Seattle. I don't know. You know, a lot of teams have tax dollars wrapped up at stadiums.
She can pay for this. Her tax dollars might pay for that stadium. Guess what? Fucking Garth Brooks is going to play in that stadium. Beyonce's going to play in that stadium.
Right.
There's going to be a rodeo and a fucking monster truck rally in that stadium.
Right, all at the same time. That's going to be one fucking hell of a show.
Now that I would go to.
Hell yeah.
My God.
Yeah, this is your entitled attitude, right? Right there on display. My tax dollars pay for you, which is a complete load of fucking Fox and Friends lie.
Okay.
All built on her morning cup of anger.
Well, I guarantee this woman is a diehard right winger. She
She
looks very well off. She's driving a Chevy Tahoe. All right.
Of course.
And she's wearing that combo of a long sleeve top with the vest coat over it. You know what I'm talking about? You know that stupid look, right? The dark sweater and the bright outdoor vest as if it's keeping her warm. You know?
I'm hunting.
Oh.
Right. I'm hunting at the shopping center in my protective coloring.
But yeah, you know, and to all you right wingers out there, it's really not got anything to do with you. But this is the lie. This woman has bitten into the lie. None of this has anything to do with the fucking country. It's got everything to do with what they're trying to tell you it's about. But you hear what your Fox and Friends tell you. That's what you hear, and that's what she hears. She gets up in the morning. She puts that. She gets the old Mr. Anger out. Puts a few anger grounds in there. Mixes it all up with a nice cup of fucking mad. Drinks it down while Steve Doocy tells her everything she should be pissed off about. Goes into the bathroom. Jerks off screaming Donald Trump's name. And then gets in the goddamn Tahoe with her stupid fucking vest on to go find several big black guys to chase into the Seahawks practice facility. That's her day, boy.
Oh my God.
Shitty that you can't.
You start your one
up and be a man.
You start your one off right there.
On your little fucking knees and not represent
the
made you
what
you are.
What's your name?
I'm not telling you my fucking name. What's your name?
Who are you, Big Mike?
Big Mike?
I don't care.
You just.
All I care about is the fact that my tax dollars pay for you to play and go fucking
stay
play.
Stay.
And get off your fucking knees.
You done yet?
Wow. Honest to God. I hate getting political about all that shit.
Oh, I'm
Jesus
not.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not getting political at all. I just want to play that nutty woman, man.
she is nutty. And this, you know, this is getting to be our country anymore, man. You tell somebody a lie, they believe it enough, and they do this. This is, it really is. You could probably, I don't know if you could bring charges against her unless you saw her for a second time. But with all the other shit that goes on in this country, wouldn't you be nervous about this crazy bitch?
I mean, obviously you can drive up to that parking lot and park where she was, or she wouldn't have been able to get in there.
Sure. And I can put bombs into a fucking Best Buy.
I'll bet you not anybody will be able to do that anymore. I'll bet they're going to have a guard out at the front of the drive-in, and you know what I mean?
I don't know. It depends. I saw what she looked like. They might let her in.
Yeah, probably.
You know, Big Mike was asking her a few questions.
Let's move on to this year's Super Bowl champions coming up. They'll be the upcoming Super Bowl champions, the Cleveland Browns.
Well, hang on a second. Before we go there, let me go back to this. The safety from the 49ers that was kneeling with Colin Kaepernick, you see, he's having a hard time finding work.
Yes.
He's actually came out today and said that he would find other avenues to do his social activism, which I guess is all right. You know, I don't have a problem with that. And I also don't have a problem with owners deciding they don't want the circus that comes with them. Although I don't think the circus would have come with him.
I don't either. And in fact, he can sign with Dallas tomorrow and I'll be very pleased.
Yeah. What's up with Earl Thomas? I guess they didn't want him.
He's still a Seahawk.
I know. But, you know, with all the trades that have been made, which have been a fuckload, You'd think, you know, he went straight into Dallas and begged for it, right? He was at the game saying, come on, y'all.
It's not out of the question yet because right now it's looking like he's going to be a big holdout.
Yeah, he's probably what he's going to hold out to do is to get that trade made.
Something could still happen there. I'm hoping. Anyway.
I'm holding out because all my friends are gone and y'all kicked that nice-looking white woman out of the parking lot.
So the Browns lose Joe Thomas. He's retiring. 11 seasons. He's obviously a first-round ballot Hall of Famer.
And he's got a brand-new podcast he thinks that's going to compete with ours.
Phenomenal left tackle. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler, made 7 All-Pro teams, and he holds the NFL record. And this is, to me, the most amazing stat regarding Joe Thomas. 10,362 consecutive snaps.
I know. That's crazy. It really is. When you consider what he has to go through at that position, that's crazy.
It's like your boy from Baltimore.
My boy from Baltimore. Oh, Cal Ripken?
Cal Ripken.
Oh, it's not even close to the same thing. Ripken goes out and might get contacted by another person, what, once a game with a little touch?
No, I know that.
Thomas has to go out and get 260-pound guys trying to beat him up all day.
It's crazy, man. Crazy.
That is a hell of a streak.
Unfortunately for Joe, the stat that doesn't look good is the win-loss record. He's got, 48 and 128. That's what his career was. He finishes his career with the worst win-loss record, well, once he gets in, of any Hall of Famer ever.
Hanging a win-loss record on a left tackle, though.
Oh, I know.
That's for quarterbacks. It's just silly. But yeah, you're right. He's probably got the record for most quarterbacks protected within 10 years, too.
Right. It's his stat. Unfortunately, as far as how many wins and losses he was involved in. For reference, the New England Patriots have 45 wins since 2015.
Jesus Christ. That's pathetic.
I know, right?
That really puts it in perspective. Holy shit. Hey, so you had a whole career there, huh?
And here the poor guy retires right before the Browns are about to win the Super Bowl, John.
Oh, I know, because, you know, they've changed the whole team. I just would love to see Bill Belichick over there laughing at him. Hey, yeah, you won 45 games, huh? Sounds like Tuesday. That's what we do on a weekday.
All right, so all kind of things going on here with the Browns. First thing we're going to play for you is Greg Williams, defensive coordinator.
Oh, he's so awesome. Isn't he so awesome, Tom, with his skunk hair and his awesome glasses? And oh, man, he almost looks like he's still 20.
Right.
I hate that guy. I really do.
I know you do.
What a dick.
Well, he's talking about Jabril Peppers and how far back he plays and where they want him to play. And
they want him to play in Lake Erie.
Right. And
go play in the lake, Jabril.
Here's what he had to say.
One of the things is that, and I laugh because somebody asked me, you know, in the organization, asked me how come I play Peppers so deep. Okay. They said, why does Peppers play so deep? Because I told him to.
If you don't know, Jabril Peppers is safety for the Browns. He was a rookie last year, came out of Michigan, had a great career at Michigan, and so he just finished his rookie year.
Wasn't he their top pick?
He was one of their first rounders. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he no longer does what I tell him to do, he's going to be your intern or somebody else's intern in the building. Oh. Okay? He's going to play where I tell him.
Discovered the problem here, Tom. The Browns are wasting first-round picks on guys that can't play unless they're interns.
Yeah.
They can either only play the Browns or their interns.
Well, they're drafting interns, basically, is what
he's
saying. Now we see the problem.
He can't play anywhere else except Cleveland, and not even there, and not even allowed in the stadium. You, into the parking lot.
Right. Here, file these.
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah, this is what Jimmy Haslett is asking him. Hey, you know I'm your boss, right? I told him to play where I fucking told him to play. That's what I fucking told him. What the fuck do you want?
And now he's an intern. Here, keep our social media updated.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, he's going to play where I tell him to play. And when you take a look at how well he has played, there's only been 4 passes thrown farther than 20 yards against us this year.
Right.
2 have been interceptions. 1 has been incompletion. And 1 was caught by Antonio Brown that still pisses me the F off.
Ooh. And that, ooh, listen to him.
He's going to start a fight, Tom. He is. He's going to start a fight. He's going to put a little chip, little thing on his shoulder. I dare Antonio Brown to come and knock it off. He's such a dick. This is Mr. Bounty, remember? This is Mr. Yeah. Bounty.
Isn't he the one that mentioned our cartoons?
Yes, he did. He did way back in when he was a Redskins coach.
Yeah, he said, I can't wait to see what the cartoons are going to look like this year.
Right, because he did something else stupid. Got called out for it.
And that was a punt. That wasn't a throw. That ball should have been knocked down, carted off, turned over. No way should that pass have been complete.
But it's Antonio Brown.
Jabril's doing very well. I've given every single defensive back a chance to prove that you can be the angel of this defense.
Angel?
And the angel is a person that covers everybody else up. He's the angel.
And the angel is the person that covers another problem everybody in the else up. He's the angel. What?
Listen to me, Mr. Haslin. We don't need anybody else. You can put 10 other goddamn interns out there. I don't care. He's the angel. He'll cover them all.
That is sacrilege!
What? What is it?
Cleveland is a dump. It is a proverbial hellhole. Holy me, I wouldn't even catch myself dead in there. You could put 50 angels in there. You couldn't protect that defense. Greg Williams is a massive loudmouth tool.
Okay.
And Hugh Jackson's going to swim in the lake this year. 0-16 again. I have spoken.
John, they're going to be so disappointed in Cleveland.
Damn, God has forsaken Cleveland.
They're going to repeat and have another parade.
You know, I wonder, is that what happens? God goes, yeah, you think you're tough? Tell you what, I'm going to give you this little skunk patch right in the front of your fucking hair and make you look like such a douchebag you'll never be taken seriously again.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me get a bounty out there on that guy. I got a bounty on that guy. I told Jabril to go ahead and wake in the goddamn locker room. You got a problem with that? Huh? That's where I told him to play. Because if he ain't playing there, you know what he's doing? He's delivering UPS or he's working for 7-Eleven. You want goddamn fries with that? That's what he's doing if he doesn't do what I fucking tell him. God damn it. God, Antonio Brown still pisses me off. I wish he'd have met me in the parking lot like I told him after the game, but he didn't come out there.
Well,
I hate Greg Williams.
It still pisses me off.
Oh, well.
God damn it.
Well, listen, look, I'm telling you, I'm in Ohio. Now, I work with a Browns fan. Well, Eric, you know Eric. He's in our fantasy league.
Yeah.
He's a diehard Browns fan, and I was talking to him about all the moves they've made. You know, okay, so now Tyrod Taylor's their quarterback now, you know, and that's an upgrade. I mean, let's be honest, that over Deshaun, I would take Tyrod Taylor. If I had to go Deshaun Kizer, Tyrod Taylor, I'm going Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, you know? But now Deshaun Kizer's, he's got himself an actual quarterback to look at over in Green Bay.
True, very true. And I don't know, you know, the Browns, okay, so Tyrod Taylor, Jarvis Landry, they bring him in. They lose Joe Thomas, but they went out and signed like three really good offensive linemen. So I think overall the line's probably as good, if not a little better, but it's not as strong at left tackle, and it never will be ever again. I mean, unless they hit another.
Who do they got to replace him? Have they gotten anybody? Have they thought about anything?
As far as the line goes?
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm just having a brain fart and can't remember who it was they signed. So I think the line's going to be okay. And then, you know, it looks like from everything I'm hearing, everything's great with Josh Gordon. He's going to be ready to go. He's going to get full training camp with Tyrod Taylor and the offense. And I think he's going to have a friggin' monster year.
Monster? Is monster one of those words that's being used in some kind of perspective with the fact that it's the Browns?
Well, because
of
what he did.
Were you saying 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns?
When he did what he did before, when he played a full season with them, which was, what, like 1,600 yards? And what he did last...
He came back last year.
And when he did in five games last year. So, and now he's got... And that was with Kizer in those five games last year. Now he's got Tyrod. And, you know, we saw Tyrod Taylor get the ball to his receivers. The Bills didn't win much. You know, it's not like they went and did anything. But he put up fantasy numbers for those guys. You know,
right?
So that's what I'm talking
about. I keep hearing the wah-wah music behind all this. Not that you're crying. It's just I think it would work pretty well.
Well, I'm telling you where the Browns fans are coming from. They're getting so done, John. They are out of their
coming
minds.
From Cleveland.
They're out of their minds in Cleveland, man. They are going crazy about this team and all the moves they've made.
I know. Here's the thing I'm going to say. When you met me, I was a Dan Snyder Redskins fan who was happy as hell and jumping around and thinking we're going to win because of all the moves that we made way, way, way back in the day. That's all we used to do, sign free agents. Woohoo, we're going to the Super Bowl this year and next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. So I'm just skeptical about making moves. No matter what, you would think that they have to be able to exponentially upgrade over 0-16.
Yes.
And 1-15 is exponentially upgrading.
Right.
All right, so I don't know that they're going to go 1-15, but, you know, don't expect much, for God's sakes. Tyrod Taylor,
I do. Well, when you say much, define much, because from 0-16.
3-13, 4-12. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's a miracle. You know, if they could go 8-8, that would be unbelievable. Like, as in, they just discovered life on Mars, unbelievable.
I'm going to say between 7-8 wins.
Well, there's only 7 or 8. They don't get 7.5 times, so pick one. You can't go between.
I'm saying they're going to win 7 or 8 games. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Even 7.
They're going to hover. They're going to hover. They're going to get, they're going to push 500, I think. And you know how it is, man.
Hang on a second. Hold on. Get off of my yard. Get out of here. God damn it. Fucking Jabril Peppers back here playing deep safety in my fucking yard. I guess Greg Williams sent him over here. Get the fuck out of here.
Get off my lawn.
And take your damn dog with you.
Anyway, I understand why the fans are getting crazy because of what these players are saying. First off, Joe Thomas, he retired. He spoke to the team. He did a press conference, and this is what he said about the team.
This thing is going up fast from here. The moves that John Dorsey's made this offseason, we obviously believe in Hugh Jackson. I think this team is going to be relevant a lot quicker than people realize.
Oh, and those fans are listening, and they are just, oh my God, they're frothing at the mouth, John.
I guess so. They've had one win in the last 2 years to celebrate. I swear to God, if Joe Thomas got up on stage and farted, they'd go, oh, fuck yeah! Woo!
Now listen to what Jarvis Landry, and granted, I believe, didn't Jarvis Slot Landry, receiver. Jarvis Landry had more catches than any receiver in the league last year, I believe?
I think so. I mean, he's a good receiver, don't get me wrong, but he's not the flyboy on the outside. I mean, Thomas, the other guy.
This is the other side of Josh Gordon. I mean, that's
right. No, I think he's a slot. He's in the slot.
Landry?
Yeah.
Well, they got, 27 receivers that they drafted the last 2 years. Certainly one of them can play, right?
Yeah, you'd hope so, huh? That's the idea.
Hey.
Right.
Hey.
Hey.
I forgot about that guy. He was from last season, wasn't he? That's, or the season before.
Yeah, they're from WFAN, Carton and Boomer.
Is that who that was? I thought I found that guy in Pittsburgh.
Hey.
Hi.
That was the real-life Matt Millen. We found him one day.
All right, so anyway, Jarvis Landry had this to say.
When you got a group of guys that, as talented as Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, Tyrod, Carlos Hyde, numerous other guys, we're bound to make a splash here. So it's definitely exciting, and we're looking forward to it.
I forgot Carlos Hyde. They got him too,
right?
And nice. And then Tyrod Taylor said this:
if you look at the moves that's been made between John Dorsey and Coach Hugh, you could definitely tell they're trying to win now. Looking forward to doing everything in my power to get this community and get this team back on the right foot.
They've been waiting for 2 years, Tom. We were going to start to try to win last year, but that didn't work out. So we're trying to win now.
Right.
You can definitely tell they're trying to win now.
Yeah.
As opposed to what? Last year when they were just sitting around on the sidelines playing fucking cards?
Well, I don't know. Hugh Jackson hasn't seen a good quarterback in a long time, obviously, because when he got Tyrod Taylor... the dude was just giddy, man. And they were like, so what, is there going to be any type of competition? He's like, he looked at those people like they were out of their minds. I don't know if you saw him in that press conference, but he said, Tyrod Taylor's our starter. There is no competition. I thought he was going to jump out at the media. Like, what are you even asking me such a thing for? Have you seen this? This is a quarterback. Have you seen one of these before in Cleveland? Look at this. A real quarterback.
Oh, they keep saying that. Oh, they got Kevin Hogan and Cody Kessler. So, yeah, I guess he's right.
Well, now, wait a second. Okay, so all these moves they made, right? They still have the first and fourth picks in the first round.
Yeah, and which is, I'm curious about what they're going to do with it. Obviously, I think they're going to go, everybody seems to think they're going to go with Sam Darnold at first, who, by the way, looks like Dwight Schrute. Now that I've said that, you're going to see it forever.
Well, they did his pro day, Baker Mayfield's pro day, Josh Allen's pro day, and there's one other one that was happening, I believe, today, and I can't remember who it was. So they're really looking at every quarterback. I don't think they are set on taking anyone, but I think they know they can take Saquon Barkley number one and get either one of those quarterbacks at number four.
I think that they would have to do something else a little bit more, maybe on some in the trenches. They can take a quarterback at one and probably at four, but I'd go one. Make sure you get the one that you want. You earned it. You fucking did nothing last year, and this is your boy. So go get the one you want.
Whichever quarterback they pick, Tyrod Taylor's going to start, and that quarterback's going to sit and watch.
Right, and I understand that in Cleveland, Tyrod Taylor sounds like a fucking something, but let's face it, man. You and me know. If Tyrod Taylor is on the board and you've got to draft your third quarterback, are you taking him for your fantasy team?
No, I understand. No. But he's right, there.
He ain't going to score.
But he's there while the rookie sits. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
I'm not saying Tyrod Taylor is going to win anything.
He's going to get his head mashed in by whoever's taking over for Joe Thomas.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Or because of whoever's taking over Joe Thomas. I mean, they should be better. They can't help but be better.
My God.
Nobody's ever gone 0-16 twice in a row. That couldn't be. So, yeah, you know, when I hear all this talk about Hugh Jackson, you know, he's turning around. Dude won one game since 2015. He has no choice but to turn it around. Right. And they should be better. I'm looking at their depth chart here, and it's pretty funny that I look at their fucking fullback, and it says D. Vitale. And I heard, give me the ball, baby! Heading through the hole to make the block!
So Hugh Jackson, he's, like I said, Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he's looking at Tyrod Taylor like, oh my gosh. Oh, look at this. Look at my prize. Oh my goodness.
It's a rebound thing. He broke up with freaking Deshaun. You know, he was so cuddly with Deshaun. And now that they've broken up, he's just rebounding. That's all.
Well, here's what Hugh had to say.
We made a decision what we thought was best for the Cleveland Browns. Tyrod Taylor was best for the Cleveland Browns. He's our starting quarterback. Very excited about it.
When you go out and you do these privates with the quarterbacks, you bring them in here into Berea, what will you tell them about their chances of starting for this football team?
That Tyrod Taylor is the starter.
What'd I just say, woman?
Look, you were 0-16. Every decision is better than the ones that you've been making. Every one of them. Cracker Jack or peanuts. Pick one. It's going to be better than whatever it is you've been before.
Right.
So you can't help but to get better.
I want to call Hugh. Let's call him.
Let's call Hugh. Might as well. He's all happy right now. He's going to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they're going to win the Super Bowl, John. Yeah, some of the fans in Cleveland, they're out of control. Anyway.
Now that they've got that bum Joe Thomas out of there.
Hello?
Coach Jackson.
Hi. How are you? You've reached Coach Jackson, and it's great to hear from you.
Well, Coach, it's John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour, and it is great to talk to you. I wanted to ask you about all these great moves you've made with the Browns this offseason.
Oh, we're just as excited as can be around here. It's like Christmas Day every time we get up in the morning and take a look out. As a matter of fact, we've left them all under the tree there. Jarvis Landry sits right over there by the wall. We keep the tackle over there under the tree so we can come out and look at them, and it's all like fresh, brand new. We're going to be so happy this year, Tom. I'm telling you, straight to the bottom of the AFC North.
Well, now Browns fans are very excited, Coach. They think you guys have made fantastic moves. They think this is going to be a winning team. What do you think about all that excitement?
I think it's fantastic. It can't help but help us out here. You know, everything's good for us. But let's face it, Tom, they're Browns fans. They wouldn't know what a goddamn good football team was if it came up and bit them in the butt.
All right.
They haven't seen one in so long, bless them. They're trying so hard, though.
Well, are they going to? Can you guys live up to these expectations?
Well, let's see. It's got to figure on the expectations now. Everything's got to be tempered with perspective. If we had a 300% improvement, that sounds great, doesn't it? But we're still 3-13 and picking probably third or second next year. So everybody's got to figure on how hard it is to get from where we are now to winning that first game, which might happen, it could happen close to Thanksgiving, I hope.
Well, I think they're expecting a little more than that, Coach.
Well, of course they are. They're fans, and that's what they do. But we're targeting things with realistic, you know, we don't want to have our heads in the clouds with pie-in-the-sky ideas. So we're just going to poke right down there on the calendar and say right around Halloween, that's when we're going to target that first win. Get our guys going in there. Let them, don't feel no pressure there, boys. Just get out there and do your best.
All right. Well,
we're going to have Jabril Peppers. Is that going to be parking cars for everybody during the first quarter? So we're just going to take our time easing into the games.
Okay, coach. Hey, we're just curious. We like to ask a lot of coaches this. What do you do when you're not working?
Oh, I everybody asks me those kinds of questions, and I tell them the same thing all the time. I work all the time. I work so hard, it seems like I'm working almost 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The fact that I've only won one game in 2 years is goddamn a mystery, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it from that perspective, if I'm working so hard, what the hell is it I'm doing? I don't know. I really don't. Most of the time, I sit in my office, and I think of new ways to make oatmeal.
Oh.
Yeah, obviously. You know, and that's kind of why we had to get rid of Deshaun right there, because he was a milk guy and I'm a butter guy, and, you know, we're just not going to be compatible with those kinds of things. It was nice to lay around with him and cuddle on the sidelines during the games, but things have to end. It's time to get serious, and Tyrod is much bigger, much handsomer, and much better at the position. So I think that we're gonna be a great team this year, everybody, and we're going to work really hard to get out of that number 5 spot for the draft next in 2019. That's our goal. Get out of the top 5 of the draft.
Well, that's a good goal, coach, and that would be an improvement. And we'll check back in with you this season. All right?
Here's a tip for everybody.
All right.
You take your brown sugar and maple syrup oatmeal and you mix it up with just a little bit of cayenne pepper, and that's a nice little hot thing to have for the game.
All right, coach. Take care.
All right. You be good now.
I don't think I'm ever going to call him again, John.
That dude has no life. What the hell is he doing?
I don't know what. I don't even understand half of what he was talking about.
I don't either. I have no idea.
All right. Well, let's move on, because there's a couple other guys don't know what the hell they're talking about, because, you know, we love to do this. And I used to get a lot of these, and some of them were just obvious stuff. It's like, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. Predictions. Talking about
no
predictions.
Shit. Really? That's a hard one.
Yeah, no. Stuff like that. It's going to be the Packers and the Patriots. It's going to be, you know. I'm like, all right.
You know, the problem now is from now on, it might be the fucking Eagles.
But some of the predictions that are made at the beginning of the year, they get into some real details about specific things, and those are fun, especially when you're talking about the experts. You know, these are the experts, John, the guys who know everything. We talk about them all the time.
Constantly. They never talk about what they said. They only keep going forward. That's all. This is the key to this.
So that's where we come in after the season's over, and we go all the way back to the beginning of the season. Thank you, DVR. And we find things like Teddy Bruschi.
Mr. Strokey.
Right, from ESPN. And his pick for this past season's Coach of the Year.
Teddy, for many years in New England, you were a coach on the field. You were there calling the plays in the defense. So you give me the Coach of the Year.
I like Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is going to impress a lot of people. The offense is going to be a lot better. They got O.J. Howard in the middle of the field. Jameis has a great year. Dirk Cutter.
I like
Dirk Cutter, coach. Yeah. The coach gets all the credit.
Yes,
all right?
He does.
So here's the head coach of a team that I think he's going to have that offense rolling, that defense with backers like Alexander and David and McCoy. They take the ball away. They're going to be in the hunt in the end, playing meaningful games. And this guy is a big reason why. Mark him up for Coach of the Year.
People were watching some goddamn HBO, weren't they? Everybody was loving the Buccaneers last year. Yep. They were the darlings. We even talked about it on this show about how coming into the season. We probably talked about it right about this time last year. The darlings look to be the Buccaneers. Everybody's going with the Buccaneers.
Adam Schefter, who we always give credit to for breaking stories, and we go, man, it's probably true if Schefter reported it.
Right, but it's different being able to get information off of a phone and then apply it to make a prediction.
Yeah, and then because this is who he predicted would be the MVP of 2017.
The last two MVPs have come from the NFC South, and Jameis could be an interesting
He will be a candidate. Jameis Winston will be an MVP candidate.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. He would be an MVP candidate is what he said. He didn't say he would win it, but he would be an MVP candidate, which he was not.
Maybe he threw his hat in the ring one day and then decided, no, I'm going to drop out. Maybe he was his own candidate. Remember, HBO did show us that their quarterback room requires a Braille sign.
That's right.
There's Braille written on the quarterback room sign. So all the blind people can go in.
I'll never understand that.
I don't get that at all. I guess it's you have to because it's the law or something, but holy shit, there's your reason why these predictions are so funny.
Well, now you got NFL Network in the morning. They've got Good Morning Football, that show that's on. Ugh. And Nate Burleson's on that show, former wide receiver from the NFL. And like I said, he knows, John, he knows who's going to be Rookie of the Year, all right? He's going to tell for 2017, this was going to be the Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. Cleveland, come to me.
Who
Let
you
me
got?
Talk to you right here. DeShone Kizer, all jokes aside, 1990, Sandy Alomar, Rookie of the Year. 2004, LeBron James, Rookie of the Year. In 1957, the great Jim Brown, Rookie of the Year and MVP. Now listen, I know those are legends of Ohio, and you're next in line, and the expectations are very hard, but isn't it about time that we start expecting more out of Browns players? Hey, listen, I need you to just do your thing, and don't let me down, but forget about me. More importantly, don't let Cleveland down. So that right there is my gift for DeShone Kizer being Rookie of the Year.
What? I remember, Tom, we heard a lot of growth out of him last year, so... Maybe Nate was onto something there. Oh, shit. This guy is on television telling you about football. I mean, I know he played. I get it. He scored touchdowns and did everything in the NFL. But this guy thinks he knows more than you do. They think he knows more than you do.
I know.
They think his opinion has more weight than yours. This motherfucker got hit in the head a lot. DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Hello, Cleveland!
Right.
DeShone, why don't you come over here and take a seat on the bench and watch your Rookie of the Year career going right now. We're going to take a look at it and listen to see how it's working out.
I like DeShone. You know, I like the feel of him with me. I heard growth out of him.
And I'd like to hear Nate Burleson at the end of the year. I would love for NFL Network. Hey, Rich Eisen, we know you flat out listen to this show. Why don't you put this on at the end of the year? Why don't you have every one of these people on and just put their predictions down on the table and put it up behind them on the wall and say, explain yours. What the hell? Nate Burleson could say, I thought I was hearing growth out of him, but I suppose I was wrong. Listen, honestly, what would make you even go there? If they ask you who's Rookie of the Year, of all the rookies that came out last year, of all the guys that were going to great situations, what would make you even say that?
I would have gone DeShone Watson, not DeShone Kizer.
I'd have gone DeShone Jones or DeShone fucking Mugabe or whoever the fuck, DeShone from down the street.
Around the way, DeShone, yeah.
DeShone around the way, right.
Anyway, so, you know, they had the combine. And there was this, you know him very well. He's Troy Apke. He was safety for Penn State.
Right. Penn State rules this year so far, man. I tell you what, they rocked the combine as if that means anything. It means nothing, but still.
Ran a 4.35 40.
It was pretty damn good. All of them, they're showing out this year. They're showing out. James Franklin's built a program, baby.
And Jesus, Saquon Barkley just freaked everybody out.
You know, he's going to fall to 13, and the Redskins are going to pick him. God damn it, I'm hoping.
You're hilarious.
I know. Oh, by the way, DeShone Kizer might have been Rookie of the Year.
I think the Browns take him, because then you got Hyde and you got Barkley. Now you got, like, the Saints situation. You know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah, you maybe, but I think that when you look at what Barkley can do, and he's not Kamara. I don't think he's a two-down back. I think Barkley is your boy.
Yeah, but... I think you can have him and Hyde both.
Maybe. We'll see.
We've seen it. We'll see. People need two running backs. We see it all the time.
Yeah, this is the Browns, dude, and they do make smart moves. Maybe they're going to take a kicker.
Well, anyway, so Deion Sanders commenting on Penn State safety Troy Apke and how fast he is. And the reason this is funny is because Troy's a white guy. All right.
Oh, okay.
And so Deion can't bring himself to say it, kind of.
They're going to be successful no matter what situation you place them in.
Here's Troy Apke.
Oh, man, he can run.
Why are you surprised, Dan?
Oh, you know why I'm surprised. I can't say it on TV, but he can run.
He was a track guy.
Right.
He was a track guy.
Boy, but you're saying it with an
edge. You don't see that much.
You're saying it in tone.
Let's call him what it is. I like that.
He
man.
Just ran 4.35.
Hey, man, let me go hug him.
At 215 pounds.
I'm going to hug him. Hey, man, that was good, man. You can run.
Excuse me, 200 pounds. Run.
I try.
Yeah, good job.
Oh, he's talking to him.
How did I say your last name?
While he was down on the field.
Epke?
Holy crap.
I know. You know, good for Mike Mayock to call him out. That was funny. See, here's the thing. And y'all that have been listening to us forever, y'all know this. But y'all that are new to us and are going to wonder what the hell's the matter with us. Why should Deion feel that he can't say that?
I know.
Why can't Deion say, damn, that's a fast white guy?
Michael Irvin has no problem. Remember when he said, listen, this is back when he was talking about Jordy Nelson.
I was in Green Bay last week, right? And I'm going to the locker room. I got Greg Jennings over there, and I got James Jones. And then Jordy walks in. Hey, Jordy, come here, coach. Just Michael, yeah, tell everybody, man, we don't play like this. Over here, we got them. We beat people. And then when they come up on us, we bring our white guy in. Right. And every time Jordy comes in the game, they come up like, oh, y'all got a white guy? Okay, we got him. Yeah. And then they come back like, hey, man, what y'all get a white guy? He's so fast. You know, stuff like that. Do your teammates or anybody ever say, man, what's up, man? How is this little kid, this little white kid beating us like this?
This little kid. He's a little, Jordy Nelson's not little, which is funny, but has this little kid, he called him because he's white.
Right. Now, are you offended by that?
No, everybody's Wes Welker. Neither. Everybody white is Wes Welker, a little kid.
Well, the fact of the matter is that we white fellers are not known for speed. You know, if you want to get recruited at Air Force, it's better to not be a white guy, I guess.
And, of course, I love that he gave us a sound effect in there.
Okay, we got him. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah.
Do you have the clip of the Air Force coach that got fired for saying the truth?
Afro-American kids can run very, very well. That doesn't mean that Caucasian kids and other descents can't run, but it's very obvious to me that they run extremely well. I just want to recruit speed. We need to find speed as much as anything. But the black athlete seems to have, you know, statistically, program, you know, seems to have an edge as far as the speed is concerned.
We can't play that anymore.
Oh, we can't? See, that's the problem these days. The guy was telling the truth.
It's cool.
Yeah. White guys are not known for being fast, so pointing it out somehow is offensive.
The white guy's going to beat you. Exactly. He's beating every brother out there.
He's beating every brother out there, Michael said.
No, that's just terrible, Tom. We're not supposed to say that anymore, goddammit.
Oh, my gosh.
The last thing I want to do is offend anybody.
Right, of course. Come on.
That was on his apology that he made for saying that Tony Romo's great-great-grandma must have gone around in the hood or something. Remember?
Yeah. But wait.
See, Tony Romo has great upside, and I'm talking about this tonight. The problem is, he doesn't look like he's that type of an athlete, but he is. He is, man. I don't know. Some brother down in that line somewhere, some brother. If I go down his family line somewhere, some brother somewhere and somewhere. I don't know who saw what or where his great, 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 great grandma ran over in the hood or something went down.
Well, that's the only way you can be a great athlete.
His great, great, great grandmother ran over in the hood. Are you kidding?
And then he got in trouble. But goddamn it, whether it's real or a joke, it doesn't make any goddamn difference. It's not offensive, for God's sakes.
No.
So yeah, you know.
And Michael
let's take a
laughing.
Look at Mr. Apke.
Michael was laughing the whole time.
Right. And Deion with his damn, I'm surprised. You know why I can't say so?
I can't say that on television.
I tell you what, we have other audio, those of you that remember, of Deion saying other things that are nowhere near as careful.
In the boardroom. Yes.
Because he don't know none of them. So, yeah, you know what? People talk the way people talk, and people see things about what people see, and I've said it before, they sanitized us and want us all to believe we're the same, and we're just not.
and that's okay.
And people be asking weird questions at the scouting combine.
Now, how funny did that sound when Tom said people be asking and he's as white as can be? See?
Were you offended?
Okay.
Were you offended, John?
No, not at all.
All right. So at the combine, NFL teams ask players all these different questions, just crazy stuff. And USA Today compiled a list of the 15 weirdest questions. And, you know, I don't even think they care what the answer is. Sometimes they just want to see how the player responds, you know?
So if Hugh Jackson gets down on his knees and puts his head,
let me listen to see if I can hear some growth. Just hold still for a minute.
All right. So that's what I brought up at the beginning of the show. I said, John, the NFL wants to know, and this was one of the questions, do you find your mother attractive?
That was one of those questions. That's why you asked me that.
Yeah. So
you were just asking me for general conversation.
So a player who doesn't have a sense of humor gets asked that question. I think he's going to take issue with that.
Well, even if it isn't a joke, who comes up with a joke like that? I guess that's an icebreaker. Come on in, relax. Hey, you ever want to fuck your mom?
Now, teams are not supposed to talk about sexual orientation, but one asks, do you like men? But I guess they can say, well, we didn't say it sexually. We just said, do you like men? Well,
you know what I'd say? One guy out of 53, we all got to do our job because I show up to play on Sunday. I hope to just be there. I hope to help the team.
Right.
Right. Right.
Is that the same answer? Now, is that the same answer you're going to give to the next question? Because the next question is, when did you lose your virginity?
Oh, my God. Just out there in the hallway, this guy was amazing.
Oh, this is unbelievable. We heard this one in the past. Is your mother a prostitute? I don't even get that.
A lot of these guys come from inner city and not the greatest of areas. Didn't Des Bryant's mother had a serious problem?
I don't
know. Wasn't that a real concern?
I don't know.
I think that there was a problem or there was a concern about his family. So I don't know how many of them get asked that, but I'm sure that there's probably some people that come from backgrounds that are not so great. And, you know, family can fuck with a guy. Young kid, 21 years old, family's grubbing off his money all living around him. We saw it earlier in Des Bryant's career, remember?
Yeah.
We did. We saw it out of the family, and then he pulled his pants down around his ass and went to the food court, got himself in trouble. Then he drops a ball against the Packers and forces the NFL to change rules.
All right, so a player by the name of Austin Lane says he got this question. What is your weapon of choice, a gun or a knife?
My dick. That's what I'd say.
Jesus.
Well, what position does he play?
I don't know.
If he's a receiver, my weapon of choice is my speed. If I'm a linebacker, the weapon of choice is my elbow.
I wonder if they ever asked Aaron Hernandez that question.
That's probably where they got that one.
Would you rather be a cat or a dog?
Would I rather be a cat or a dog?
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Yeah, right.
We need more dogs.
We need more dogs. That's right.
That would be my answer.
Right. We don't need no cats.
And I'd say it exactly like that. We don't need more cats.
You're right.
We need more dogs.
Right. All right, here's another question. You're on a mountain in Alaska on a bus going 100 miles per hour.
Okay.
Where are you sitting on the bus?
Behind Sarah Palin.
Right next to Herm Edwards.
Right. Behind Sarah Palin, asking her, which way's Russia? Show me Russia. Herm Edwards is back in the back of the bus cooking the potato. You got to cook the potato at 100 miles an hour on a mountain road.
In Alaska.
In Alaska. With a volcano and Russia out the left port. What? Seriously, they asked him that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where would you be sitting at 100 miles an hour?
You know, I want to go. I want right up at the front going 100 miles an hour. I want to see everything coming at me. I don't know. Right. This one would be a question you would get in, like, school, on a test in class back in elementary school. Where does the sun rise and where does it set?
See, this is where fucking Jared Goff had a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jared Goff had no idea. It doesn't do anything.
Well, yeah, because
that's
he's
what
like,
I would
he,
say.
He wasn't thinking about it rises in the east and it sets in the west. He was thinking, wait a minute, the sun never touches anything.
That's right. Sun doesn't do anything. We do.
For him, it was like a trick. He thought it was a trick question, you know.
No, he really doesn't know. Although he's going to go to the NFC Championship this year, he doesn't have to know. But that, I think, would be my answer, that the sun does neither. We rotate around it. What are you, stupid?
There you go.
This is basic. This is fucking basic science.
Would you share your internet history with us?
Sure, why not? My roommate looks at a lot of Japanese porn. I don't understand it.
This one was interesting. This is now okay. So let me. I'm going to go through this whole thing here. This is the transcript between the guy asking the questions and the player.
All right.
What color is chocolate? The player said brown. The coach asked, "What color is melted chocolate?" The player said dark brown. The coach said, "No, don't overthink it." So he said brown. Then the coach said, "What color is butter?" Yellow. Then, what color is melted butter? Yellow. Finally, what color is snow? White. What color is melted snow? White.
It doesn't have a color.
White. The player said white, and the coach said, "Nope, melted snow is clear. So what does that make snow?" The player said, "Clear?" And the coach said, "Yep." Can you imagine? This is what's going on at the combine, John.
I'm sorry. You said white. You can't tackle.
Hey.
That's it. Right. I'm sorry. But water is not white. You cannot catch balls. Bye. What the hell does that after? I guess it could show something about quick thinking. You know, am I going to say white?
Yeah.
But if you're going to tell me it's white when it's not, what are you telling me then? I have to listen to you? What is this, Greg Williams?
What if I tell you to play in a parking lot? You going to play in a fucking parking lot?
Why do they care if the player's wearing boxers or briefs?
Well, because, you know, you got your balls all tucked up too tight. You're wearing briefs and you're not going to be able to reproduce. And everybody likes kids.
Better be wearing a jock strap. That's what you better be wearing.
Yeah, well, you got to be wearing that. And we all see them wear that, you know, especially the big black dudes that wear white pants and get down on all fours in the fucking defensive line. We can see their jock straps.
Yeah, them and Aaron Rodgers and his thong.
And his thong, that's right. We did see a thong on Aaron Rodgers. I think that's cute. I think maybe that's why they traded Deshaun Kizer over there.
We're going to teach you something, Deshaun. Go learn how to wear your thong and then come back. Rose goes in the front, big guy.
Okay, now listen. Listen, these last questions, right? These were all asked by the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
If I tell you to play at 7-Eleven, where are you going to play?
Oh, shit.
Who are you interning for this year?
I can't even believe this. All right, here we go. All Cleveland Browns questions. How many ways could you use a brick in a minute?
Well, I could throw it at the scoreboard and knock out all the zeros and shit after our victories, because we ain't going to have none this year. How many ways can I use a brick in a minute? I can take it and bash you upside the head with this stupid question.
How many different things can you think of that you can do with a paperclip?
Gosh, because that's going to be the basis of our offense this year. You know?
It's the paperclip that appears at the bottom of your old computer screen from like fucking Windows 95 and shit. You'd like to throw a pass?
Here's the next question, and I'll give you my answer. It's easy. Which team do you pick in Madden, and why? Anybody but the Browns, because they suck.
Right. That's right. Anybody but the Browns. That would have to be the answer. And he would have to go, "Well, yeah, I understand that. I don't take them either. I always play with the Seahawks."
Oh, my gosh. Are you afraid of clowns?
Because there's 52 of them that are going to be in the locker room with you.
The whole building's just full of them. I hope you're not scared of clowns. They're everywhere. We've tried to get them exterminated for the last 10 years. Just doesn't do any good.
I love a parade.
You gotta have clowns if you're gonna have a parade.
The Browns are gonna show up for opening day in one little Toyota Tercel.
Hello, Cleveland!
And now, Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, and you hear the squeaky shoes coming down the tunnel. Wee, 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 wee. Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness. Finally, the last question from the Browns. What kind of fish are you?
This is what Barbara Walters is writing their question.
If you could be a fish, what kind of fish would you be?
Oh,
I would be a nuclear irradiated fish from Lake Erie.
And then the guy gets drafted by the Browns and he goes, ooh, they must have liked my answer to that brick question.
That's right.
Hey, why don't you come on in here and show us how you can build a wall? There you go. Right there. We need a we're trying to put a planter in the parking lot. Jabril couldn't build it last year, so why don't you give it a shot?
Jeez. That's what it was. Greg Williams told him to go out and build a planter. That's what you're doing on defense.
Oh, my gosh.
The Browns. You know, lots of moves, but expectations better be tempered. Seven wins? That's a lot of wins.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. And I could change that before the season starts, but.
Of course you can. You know, because anything could happen before the season starts. Like, the Browns could show up.
We have a lot of studying and analyzing to do before we make those predictions.
That's right. And you know why we do that, Tom? Because we're white guys, and that's because that's what we do. We're not fast enough to do anything else.
I want to get this in. We talked about this a couple of times last year, and I don't know how many people actually listened and took your advice. I did, and I was so glad that I did. There's a channel called IFC.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you get channel IFC, and I don't know if this is on, it may be on Netflix or whatever, there's a sitcom.
It's on Hulu, I think. It's on Sling.
Sling, Hulu, or you can watch it on IFC. They've been showing last seasons because it last year was the first season for a show called Brockmire.
Brockmire.
And there were 8 episodes, 30 minutes each. No commercials on IFC, which is great. Right. And it's about a Major League Baseball announcer for Kansas City. His name's Brockmire. He's simulcast on the radio and in the stadium, okay, in Kansas City. And the very beginning, the first episode, this isn't really going to spoil anything for you because this is the first 2 minutes of the first episode, all right?
Yeah.
And this is how the show begins. If this doesn't do it for you, then don't watch it. If you hear this and you go, then don't worry. But if you do, I think you're going to want to see the show just by hearing this. So he's in the booth at the game. He's calling the game. So he's on the radio. You can hear him on the radio and everybody in the stadium can hear everything he's saying. And he starts to tell a story in between calling the game.
You know, folks, the great Vin Scully once told me that the only way to call a baseball game is to keep your eyes open and to tell the truth. As a fine you swings and misses at a fastball, 0-1.
Oh, and he's chugging whiskey.
Folks, here's the truth.
Yes.
Today is the 20th anniversary of the very first time that I told my lovely wife, Lucy, that I loved her. And ever since that day, as many of you know, I've signed off every single game the exact same way, with a message to her. Lucy, put supper on the stove, my dear, because this ball game is over as Pedro delivers a slider into the dirt, count evens 1-1. I had some time at the ballpark this afternoon to reflect upon this wonderful anniversary as Ibanez slashes one foul to the right side. And I decided to go on home and surprise my wife, Lucy, with some gardenias. They're her favorite flower.
Chug.
Please imagine my surprise when I opened my front door to find about a half dozen naked folks sprawled out in my living room, engaged in what can only be described as a desperate and a hungry kind of a lovemaking. And right in the center of it all was my wife, Lucy. She was wearing a strap-on, and she was plowing our neighbor, Bob Greenwald. And folks, I do mean right in the ass. Fastball misses, just low, count goes full, 3-2.
Did he just say strap-on?
Hey, for you kids at home, a strap-on is a belt with a dildo on it that mommies use to penetrate daddies as a bunion strikes out on a half fastball. That'll bring Clark up to bat. Clark having himself a heck of an afternoon with 2 doubles. Bob Greenwald! And that two-faced SOB, I hosted his kid's bar mitzvah. I hosted his kid's bar mitzvah.
Here's the kicker. Here's what kills me. My wife Lucy has the storm. She has the unmitigated gall to turn to me and tell me that she is a sexual astronaut. I mean, what does that even mean? I mean, granted, Bob Greenwald's ass might be as big as the goddamn moon. That does not mean that my wife has been to outer space, okay? And that is a deep fly ball to right center field. That one is way back there. That's either out of here or lost inside my wife's bed. Vagina. Congratulations, Dan Hobart of Sedalia. I only hope you enjoy gelatin half as much as my lovely wife enjoys...
Oh, what a great rant. That is priceless.
That is one of the best shows on television.
Oh, my God. So that's how the show begins. And, you know, John just told me, he said, just watch it. Just sit down and watch the first episode. He said, just watch the first 5 minutes, and that's all it'll take. And that's the first thing you see, and you can't stop after that. That's it. Yeah,
that's a Kansas City Royals game he's doing with like 50,000 people in the stands.
Oh, my God. By the end of that, the entire crowd is dead silence. Just they're all staring at the speakers in the stadium. They can't even, you know, the parents are covering their kids' ears. They just can't even believe what they're hearing. Like I said, it's 4 hours is the whole. You can watch the whole first season, a total of 4 hours. Season two, you got a month because season two starts April 25th on IFC. And season two, they're moving to New Orleans in season two.
That for the first episode when they have the when they hit the Grand Slam, that is so goddamn funny. That is so goddamn funny.
Don't spoil anything.
Oh my God, that is funnier than hell.
All right,
and I do like the who knew the old fastball felt so good from episode two. So baseball season starts in a week. Actually, it starts in 5 days because it's early this year. So there's your baseball update. Go watch Brockmire.
Oh, it's better than any baseball game you'll watch this year.
Absolutely. The baseball game's going to take just about as long as the first season. So, what do you think about this bullshit about starting runners off on second base in extra innings?
And we'll talk about that in the next episode because we are out of time.
That's right. We're way out of time. And that's right. That's our April setup.
There you
later.
Go. Yeah, we will. We'll be back. Our next show will be our post-draft show.
Yeah. I'll have a couple of best ofs to come out before then. And look at us on at Bang Radio Hour and go see us, bangradiohour.com. Send us a message, all kinds of stuff. We're rushing to get through to the end of the show because we both just looked at the clock.
And we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Shitty that you can't.
You start your one.
Up and be a man.
You start your one off like that.
On your little fucking knees and not represent the
major
that you are.
What's your name?
I'm not telling you my fucking name. What's your name?
Who are you?
Big Mike.
You just
all I care about is the fact that my tax dollars pay for you to play and go fucking
stay
play
safe.
And get off your fucking knees.
You done yet?
And as Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait.
I only can control what I can control. When there's not much I can control, it's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Paying a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
With OneNet on Vodafone Business, you can make and receive landline calls from your mobile, meaning your office could be here. Or here. Or more likely, here.
Hello, Saunders Designs. How can I help?
Your office can be anywhere with our OneNet virtual landline. Available on our new and limited data plans. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone Business.
Max download upload speeds apply to data. Coverage may vary. Unlimited and OneNet terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.
We've created unlimited data plans for your business. Because 1 minute, you're the receptionist.
Hello, how can I help?
The logistics manager.
Okay, lift at your end. That's it now, to me.
The new business consultant.
Will do. I'll pop over and give you a quote.
And you've still got to make the tea. Your business doesn't have limits, so why should your data allowance? New unlimited data plans from Vodafone Business. The future is exciting. Ready?
Max download upload speed apply to data. Coverage may vary. Terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.